I want to add something to what we talked about in the offering as far as our commitments are concerned, and that is we have 104 now mission projects that we support, home and abroad, and our mission budget is pretty full. We've done this about 3 or 4 years ago where the mission budget was pretty full, and I've already stepped out by faith and told the missionaries we're going to take them on. And so we just need to everybody get involved. Amen. We've seen it in the past where our mission budget was a little tight. We took on missionaries. Maybe we didn't have all the funds there, and God has blessed tremendously. We have never missed an obligation to missionary since we began almost 13 years ago. Every month, missions money has gone out. Well, Brother Clark was over here pointing out that Brother Bob had attended East Texas Baptist College, where his son goes. I just don't know that he read down a little further where it says that Brother Bob was kicked out because he had been drunk. Yeah, your son still goes there. It's actually part of my job to pick on Brother Clark and Brother Leland and Miss Edie and Miss Bobby. And I'm just trying to think of all the other ones I want to pick on tonight. But I was going to pick on Adam Young this morning. I looked straight at him and I said, and I held back. I said, no, I love him too much. I didn't pick on him. No, I appreciate our church. Love you guys so much. I enjoy our fellowship, and I enjoy loving you, and I enjoy being able to pick on some of you. And if you want to be picked on more, just let me know. I'll pick on you some more. It's just a great, great time. Brother Latta says he wants to be picked on more. All right. Brother Latta, one of the our new members find out pretty quick that the way I show affection is kind of, that's the way I show affection. That's the way, anyway, I better stop. Brother Weedon has come preach. Some of you were in Children's Church this morning. Brother Weedo is the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas, which he started, founded a little over 20 years ago. And my friend, I appreciate Brother Weedo.
God bless you. All right. Thank you, preacher. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm just going to read a verse there and that you're familiar with. How many of y'all ate too much? Raise your hand. God bless you. I see those hands. Amen. I'm a full gospel preacher right now. Amen. Amen. I'm Baptist, but I am a full gospel preacher because I preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. I've got all these jokes going through my head, and I'm not wanting to get started telling jokes. I'm glad God has a sense of humor, though, aren't you?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Been trying to pray and figure out which way I'm going. Let me just tell you a little story to begin with, and then we'll. And I'll not preach a long time tonight, I don't think. I just want to kind of jump in here. We have a watch night service every year, and at our watch night service, we preach all the preachers in our church, and we have a little break in the middle and, you know, eat some black-eyed peas and cornbread and so forth, all cabbage and so forth. But anyway, then we gather around and we either pray the new year in as a church family, and it's a good time, and depending on how many preachers we have to preach as to how long they get to preach and all that. Well, one of my little grandsons, he was 8 years old this last year, and he's 9 now, but he said, Pawpaw, he said, can I preach? And my wife and I were there with him, and I thought for a minute. I said, well, yeah, it'd be great. And I didn't even know that, you know, he had was a preacher, wanted to preach or whatever. So I said, well, yeah, you can preach. And so my wife kind of pipes up, and she says, you want Papa to help you with your sermon? He said, no, ma'am, I got it. And so he's 8 years old. He's never preached before. And so we didn't have any idea what he was going to say. And so he got up that night, and he had his little suit on and everything, and his text verse was 1 Peter 5:8. And he read the verse, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I was thinking, wow, that's a lot of big words there. Vigilant and adversary and devour, and you know, he's 8 years old, and I was kind of anxious to hear what he was going to say, preacher, and he read his text first. He's 8 years old and he's standing there like a little trooper and he said, I just want to be a good boy. He said, I don't want to listen to bad music. He said, the devil's right around the corner. He said, I just want to be a good boy. And that was his message. But he said it from his heart. And it touched everybody else's heart. Because he just wanted to be a good boy. I'm 53 years old. And I just want to be a good boy. And we as God's children, we got to quit the sin business. Say, you're not going to preach another message. Really, I'm really a nice guy. And I love the Lord. But sometimes you have to do a little plowing, amen? And you have to do a little plowing to get God's folks kind of cleaned up. And I know y'all are doing great, I'm sure. Most of you are. But then there's a lot of stuff in the world. There's a lot of good people in churches that nobody even knows they have a problem until that problem gets so big that it just kind of destroys their whole family. And nobody even knew that anything was even going on, preacher. And I got people that used to serve the Lord and be very faithful and all that, and they're not even in church anymore. And I'm just saying, wow, I just think in a missions conference that if we as God's people are going to, you know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where we put our money, our heart kind of follows our money. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why to me, if we're all filled with ourselves and we've gotten so busy, and I mean, I do better when I'm busy, but I don't want to get so busy that I don't have time for the Lord. Are y'all with me? And I love preaching. I do, man. I love preaching. I love red hot preaching. I'll tell you another little story, and I might have told this one before, but most of you know that I was going to be a dairy farmer, and I showed you my milk and muscle this morning and all of that. But we just lived across the way over there around Mansfield. Anyway, I had a bunch of properties leased, and we were raising replacement heifers. But before I got to replacement heifers, I had some black Angus heifers, and my wife's uncle, Jake, I had bought about 7 heifers from him, and boy, they were all fat and sassy, and he had a good bull, and I mean, these were just a slick set of heifers, and I was going to sell those heifers and stocker cows, beef cows, and go all Holsteins, because I was raising Holstein heifers. And so we had them up in the lot, and it was kind of a little poor boy operation. We didn't really have a good loading chute, so we just got them in a little trap, a little pen, and we backed the trailer in. My wife grew up around farming, and so she has the gate, and she's holding the gate, and we're just going to kind of ease these heifers around and not get them stirred up. And if one heifer jumps up in the trailer, then they all just jump up in the trailer, and we were going to go to the cow sale and sell those 7 heifers. Everything was going great. It was a cool, crisp fall Texas morning, a little bit of dew on the ground, and I'm easing the heifers around. My wife, the only problem with my wife is that she was great with child. She was 8 months pregnant. In the dairy business, we would call her a springing heifer. She's not here, okay? She's in Arkansas, so I'm okay. But she was great with child, okay? I mean, she's great with child. She's 8 months plus. And so, anyway, she's holding the gate, and she's fine with that. And all we got to do is get that first heifer. Well, I'm easing them around and trying not to get them stirred up. And I've got my overalls on and my boots on. And I'm watching the heifers. Well, one heifer begins to try to break and run. That's not good. That's not good. So I start running to kind of head her off because I'm trying to keep them from getting stirred up. Well, I was watching the heifer and I'm trotting around to, you know, try to head her off. And I wasn't watching where I was going. And my foot, my boot, hit a Texas-size cow patty. And my feet went out from under me, and my bottom landed slap dab in the middle of that Texas cow patty. Now, I'm standing or sitting there, and I've got cow manure running, oozing up between my legs, and my wife is laughing. My wife is great with child, and where I'm sitting at, fellas, I mean, my pride, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm a man, and my wife's sitting there laughing at me. It wasn't real funny from where I was sitting at. Has your wife ever laughed at you at the wrong time? You know, you wanted to kill her. But, well, anyway, she's just like doubled over laughing, you know, from where she's sitting or standing watching me. And I'm there right in the middle of this mess. And, you know, it has ammonia in it. And it started leaking through my underwear. And I know we're getting personal, but anyway, that stuff, it'll burn you, you know, it'll burn you. And so, anyway, the next scene was, we weren't going to Calcell that day. My wife is driving the truck, and, you know, and we're going back to the house, and I'm in the back of the truck. Okay, are y'all with me? I'm not a happy camper. I'm not going to be happy until I get the stink washed off of me. Are y'all listening to me? And so we went to the house, and of course I got cleaned up, and everything was better. But it's just an illustration, an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. That's why we need preaching, because we take the washing of the water of the Word of God, and the Word of God, it cleanses our hearts. Are y'all listening to me? And preachers need that. Preachers are sometimes some of the worst gossips that there are. You get a bunch of preachers together and they start talking about other preachers and stuff. I mean, man, we're wicked. Are y'all listening to me? And I'm just saying that, wow, you know, I mean, from time to time, I mean, I just need to let God, you know, the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me." So I'm thinking, okay, you know, we want you to fill out a Faith Promise missions card. We want you to help us reach the world that Jesus Christ died for. But if you're all full of yourself and you got all this stuff on you from being out in the world, and, you know, you're in the world, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but we get out in the world and we get the world on us and we stink. You say, "Are you telling me that I stink?" Yeah, I'm telling you, you stink. Can I tell you this? I stink. I've got 10 grandbabies, and sometimes on occasion they stink. And that's why God made grandmas and mamas. I got a good sniffer. And, you know, when they do their business, I hand them off to somebody else until they get them cleaned back up. Are y'all with me, fellas? Help me, fellas. Amen. And I'm just saying this, that I want my life, I want God to say, Is that biscuits and what is that? Boy, that's a sweet smelling savor. Is that chocolate chip cookies in the oven I'm smelling? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be a little stinker. I heard another story about a fellow that they were going to be having some work done on their septic tank. He was real careful to tell his son that they were going to have the lid off the septic tank. And so his little boy was careful and all that, but they forgot to tell their little dog. And the little dog fell in the septic tank. And it didn't take long. I mean, they didn't realize it, but as soon as they realized what had happened, they went over and the little dog was down in that stuff. And so the dad told the son, he said, "Son, go get the ladder." And he took the ladder, and the dad held the ladder, and the little boy went down and he got his little dog. The little dog was disoriented. He was biting and all that. He had that stuff all over him. And the story said that from that day forward, when they got the little dog out of there, they washed him and turned the water hose on and washed him off. And from that day forward, that little dog loved to play in the water. Amen? And I'm just saying that, wow, you know, you don't hear much preaching, you know, on sin anymore. And I'm telling you, man, I want God to cleanse my heart. And I want to be right. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? I'm asking you that question tonight. What does your life smell like to God? Does it smell like a sweet smelling savor? Or is it something else He's smelling tonight? And I'm just saying, wow, I want to be clean. I want to be right so that I can get the mind of God. Because, hey, listen, when we're dirty, listen, God is not, you know, I mean, listen, He can't look on sin. And I just, man, I want my life to be clean and right. And He's a holy God. And He wants all of us to be holy. And I want to be able to hear that still, small voice of God because souls hang in the balance. And if I'm all soiled by the world and covered in the manure of the world, are you listening to me? Then how can I make a spiritual decision if it's all about me? The old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And I just think, wow, I just want to be a good boy. I just want to be a good boy. The devil's right around the corner. Are y'all listening to me? And he's out to kill and to steal and to destroy. And Jesus wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. Have you lost your joy? It's hard to fake it when you lose your joy. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. I never did like to get whippings. My dad was old-fashioned and grew up on the farm, and he'd say, go to the bedroom, and man, it was game over. Man, there wasn't no hotline numbers to call or nothing back in those days. You'd have broken fingers or something, you know. I mean, I don't even know. I respected my dad. My dad taught me to respect my mom. I'm rising up and calling them blessed now. I thank God for my parents and that He taught me to respect authority. I love my wife. I respect my wife because my dad taught me to respect my mother. Are y'all listening to me? I have a lot of respect for God because I respected my earthly father. Amen. My earthly father wasn't my old man. That was my dad. Amen. We weren't allowed to use terminology like that when I was coming up. Amen. Yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. We came up the old-fashioned way. Amen. My brother and I, we burned a razor strap that my dad used to whoop us with. He whooped us with a razor strap. One of them things, old barbers, about that thick, a leather strap. He whooped us with a razor strap. My dad used to say my grandma invented hot pants a long time before they ever hit the market. Yeah, they'd light you up back in the old days. You know, the Bible says the Lord chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. And the Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. And you and I, I'd much rather judge myself and get on my face and say, God, I'm sorry. I preach in jail every Tuesday night. That I'm in town, we go to jail and we have an hour with the ladies, an hour with the men, and I see these ladies crying and they got children and all that, and they're somebody's little girls and they made a mistake and they owe a debt to society. But I'm just going to tell you, man, you better be careful what you're dabbling in. Because you can get in over your head. With pornography and all this stuff today, I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to contend with. Young people, listen to me, man. We love y'all. We love you. Y'all blessed our hearts this morning in song. But I'm telling you, listen, the devil's out to get you. He's right around the corner. What kind of music are you listening to? When you're by yourself. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff in the world. And I'm going to tell you parents something. Hey, what we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. And you know, you're going to reap more than you sow, and we reap later than we sow. We reap after what we sow, we're going to reap that. I think about the sin of David. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, and he was greatly blessed by God and all of that, and very few men ever really probably had given themselves to God and loved God as much as David did. But David was not immune to the effects of sin. Are y'all listening to me? His sin was not just the terrible act of adultery. We talk about David and Bathsheba, and he committed adultery. But you know what? He broke several other commandments. Listen to this. He coveted his neighbor's wife. He stole his neighbor's wife. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He had Uriah killed. He lied about his sin. He dishonored his parents. And he dishonored God. And he gave great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. Doesn't really matter who we are. If David had that kind of problem and got on the wrong track, I mean, I'm just telling you, hey, we all got to be careful. That's why we're to walk circumspectly. Be sober, be vigilant. We're to be on red alert all the time because the devil's out to get us. David's sin just didn't affect him. It affected his family. It affected his family. Remember, you reap more than you sow and you reap later than you sow. It didn't happen overnight, but David's illegitimate baby with Bathsheba died. His son Amnon raped his sister Tamar. His son Absalom killed his son Amnon. His son Absalom led a conspiracy or an insurrection, an overthrow of his father David's kingdom. His son Absalom was killed by Joab. The sword never departed from David's house. Go ahead and turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51 very quickly, and I'm really just talking from my heart. I don't even know what I'm doing. Are y'all okay? David comes back to God. David couldn't stand being out of fellowship with the Lord. And we all know people that maybe they're good people, but they're away from God. And maybe you remember back when they had joy, and man, they were with the Lord. It's very evident by their countenance. And now you see them around, and you know, they're nice and they're kind, and they smile, but they don't have no depth to their smile. They've lost their joy. And David couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand being out of fellowship with the Lord. Psalms 51, we're all familiar with it. Psalms 51, and the Bible says, David's coming back to God, and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression." Look at verse number 2. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Can I tell you this, that sin will make you dirty? Sin will make you dirty. Are y'all with me? Sin will make you dirty. It'll make me dirty. Don't matter who it is. It'll make us dirty. It says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." Can I tell you this? Sin will make you worry. It'll make you worry. Start thinking about what you've done and all that, and you'll start worrying about it. The Bible says, verse number 4, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And by the way, when we sin, we're sinning against God. "That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Can I tell you this, that sin dishonors the Lord. "Against thee only have I sinned." It not only hurts those around you, but it dishonors the Lord. And I don't want to hurt the Lord. I love the Lord. And when I'm out of sorts with the Lord and I'm not right with Him and I'm not clean, it bothers me on the inside. Are y'all listening to me? It bothers me. And one sermon, one truth from the Word of God can change your life. Look on down. Verse number 8 says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." Can I tell you this, that sin will depress your heart. Depression. A lot of ladies in jail get depression. You know why? Because of sin. We start singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." We start singing that in jail, and ladies start crying. You know why? Because they remember back when they were little girls. They get down, they get depressed. We sing a lot of little funny songs in jail because the ladies are, they get depressed. They get down, and we sing funny songs. We sing the one, "I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time. I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin. I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time." Hey! Man, the ladies laugh. They like that sin. You say, "Well, that's a little kid song." Yeah, I know. Inside those ladies is a little girl that got off track and got dirty. And she needs the Lord to cleanse her heart. Last Tuesday night, we had 5 ladies that came for salvation. And 2 of them got saved and 3 of them got the assurance of their salvation. They were just dirty. And they just needed to be cleaned. They'd already been saved. We love them. We love them. Are you listening to me? We love them. I preached in prison one time. There's 164 ladies in the services. Preached on bitterness. Man, there was ladies crying everywhere. It was an old-timey snot slinger. I mean, there was ladies getting right. It was on. They didn't have no makeup on anyway, but thank God for that. There's just ladies just crying, getting right, getting all that stuff out of their heart, all that hatred and bitterness, anger, getting all that junk out of their heart. Amen. I know they felt better that night. You'll feel a lot better when you get clean and, man, you just, you know, get your joy back. I love it. Y'all okay? I'm almost done. Look on down here, the last part of verse number 8. It said that the bones, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Can I tell you this, that sin will disease the body. Sin will disease the body. There's a lot of people that look a lot older than they are because of the effects of sin. They look a lot older than they are because they've just been living that hard life in the fast lane, the party life, all the drinking and drugs and all that takes a toll on them after a few years. Let me give you another one here. In verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities, creating me a clean heart." David was on to something here. He was saying, "Wash me, you know, create me a clean heart." Why? Because he'd gotten messed up. He just got some of the stuff of the world on him. Man, he stunk. He stunk and he loved God, but he just got away from the Lord. Are you listening to me? Sin will defile your spirit. He said, "Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I want my spirit to be right. And sin will destroy your testimony. Look at verse number 10. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And, you know, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy. Look down at verse number 17. The Bible says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And here's all I'm saying tonight is this, is that I just want to be a good boy. I don't want to listen to bad music. The devil's right around the corner. I just want to be a good boy. I want to be clean and I want to be right. Men look on the outward appearance. Y'all look great. But God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. Parents, it's hard to kid your kids. So you can't kid a kid. They know if you're real, if what you have is real.
Amen.
I always say this, that if what you have looks like it's killing you, nobody else is going to want it. Half the people I preach to look like they're constipated. I mean, they got this scowl on their face, and I mean, I'm thinking, good night. If this is God's people, I mean, let me go back to the jail. Why is it that way? We just got to get our joy back. Man, don't we love the missionaries, church? Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Got these people wanting to go to the mission field. Several of the missionaries talked a little bit about prayer tonight. And I wonder if Brother Jason Pugh, what's his wife's name? Kim. Is that right, Kim? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I wonder if Brother Jason and Miss Kim, I wonder if they think y'all are praying for them. I wonder if Brother Stone, it's Brother Stone, right, in Corpus? What's his last name? I wonder if they think in their mind, y'all, they're sending church, I wonder if they think y'all are praying for them. Out of sight, out of mind sometimes.
Yeah.
What about all these dear missionaries on the mission field? We have a guy out of our church, your preacher knows him. He's not normal. This guy is crazy. His name's Burton Gates. He was the bartender at Applebee's in El Dorado, Arkansas. Y'all would love him. He's not normal. He's not. He's very, very transparent. Some of our teenagers knocked on his door one day, and he came to church. He sat on the back row, raised his hand for prayer for salvation. He walked down the aisle and got saved the first Sunday that he came. The bartender at Applebee's. Well, you know, we started working with him, and you know, little by little, he went to youth camp one year. Man, got a whole bunch of things right with the Lord. He'd been in drugs and all that stuff, and he now pastors the Liberty Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He planted a church there about 4 years ago. He's been saved 11 years now. I love him. He's a blessing. I was preaching a tent revival in Aberdeen, Maryland. And they had bales of hay, and it's a tent revival in the fall. And it's cool at night. And on Friday night of that tent revival, Brother Burton was laying out. He wasn't kneeling at the altar. He was laying out. I was like, good night. What's he doing down there? But that night, he gave his life. I mean, to the Lord, he was saved, but he just consecrated himself to the Lord. And God gave him a building in the inner city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he's reaching people, drug addicts, and it's an unbelievable story. But I'll say this. I was talking to another preacher up there named Brother Charlie Clark. He pastors in Berlin, New Jersey. And Brother Clark said this to me. He said, Pastor Wido, we got to pray for Brother Burton. I said, why is that, Brother Clark? And he said, I just read an article, and he lives in what's called the Badlands. And there are more homicides per 10,000 people in that area than anywhere in the whole Northeast Corridor. And there's a lot of people up in that area of the United States. And you know, it was like the Holy Spirit was coming through the telephone, preacher, and saying, you've given lip service as his sending church, but we haven't really prayed. We haven't really prayed for him, not like we could. And I started thinking about his wife, Karen, his three little kids, and them living in that neighborhood where the kids can't go outside and play. And I'm thinking, wow, we got to pray. They think we're praying for him, but we're really not praying for him, not like we could, not like we should. And so I think we need a revival of praying for our missionaries. We need a revival just getting clean. This missions conference stuff, it's awesome. But more awesome than giving to missions is getting your heart right with Jesus. Because if I'm right with Him, man, this mission stuff is like, wow, God, the more You give me, the more I've got to give You. I mean, it's awesome. Amen. Are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. So I just want to be a good boy. Let's bow our heads. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Let's all stand. We're just going to go ahead and open the invitation. If you need to come right now, we just ask you to come. Man, how long has it been since you just kind of came clean with the Lord? Young people, what about it? Would you come to the altar tonight and ask God to help you? Adults, would you lead the way? God bless you. Don't wait on anybody else. Piano, play softly. If you need to come, we just invite you to come and find a place here at the old-fashioned altar. I don't care how old you are, but if you're saved, you're God's little boy, you're God's little girl. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. May say, God, I just want to be clean. I just want to be a good boy. I want to be able to hear Your still, small voice, God. I want to do what You want me to do, Lord. Hey, God knows when we're trying, and God knows when we're messing around. God says, hey, I'd rather you be hot or cold. This lukewarm stuff, I'm telling you, this lukewarm stuff. God said, I just want to spew you out of my mouth. You're making me sick. I don't want my life to make God sick. I'm kind of one of these guys, probably like most of you guys. I'm either going to be all the way in, or I ain't even going to mess with it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I'm all the way in, preacher. I'm glad I'm all the way in. I've never just wanted to be a preacher, man. I want to have God's power on my life, and I mean, I want to do those things in secret that the Lord rewards openly. And I want to spend time in my prayer closet. I want to walk with God and want God to use me, just like your preacher does. I just want to be a good boy. If you need to come, you step out and come. Young people, I've been around a long time now. The most happy, the most fulfilled people in all the world are those that are all the way with Jesus. That are all the way with the Lord. Y'all got a lot of energy. I appreciate you singing for the Lord this morning. What gives our singing up is having a holy life and a clean life and a life that's right with the Lord, and getting all the manure of the world washed off of us. Boy, you've been reading your Bible and praying and walking with Jesus all week. You get up and sing for the Lord, and man, the Holy Spirit starts walking up down the aisles and squeezing people's hearts, and people start getting blessed by it. Wonder how many carnal Christians it would take at Heritage Baptist Church for God to say, Ichabod. The glory departs, and God kind of lifts His hand to blessing. Hey, it's a blessing that a young man got saved this morning. It's a blessing that a little child got saved last Sunday. It's a blessing. What is that? God's blessing, and God's honoring the church with His presence. If I have the blessing of God on my life, I have everything. If God lifts His hand of blessing off of me and curses me, I have nothing. The Bible says that the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian for Joseph's sake. Get a bunch of people with the blessing of God on their lives, and man, it makes a difference in a church and in a home. You get some family members that, man, are all the way with the Lord. It makes a difference. I hope you'll be praying about what the Lord wants you to do. It's not rocket science. And man, I thank you, church, for what you have done. Awesome. But I know we can do more. And those of you that are involved in missions, you pray. Just whatever the Lord tells you to do, that'll be just right. And if everybody does something, I was listening to Brother Lester Roloff. He was talking about little as much when God is in it on the radio this week. He said a man sent $2. He said, you know, we've got over 1 million listeners. If everybody sent $2 in, we could pay off our indebtedness. That was years ago, Brother Roloff. I'm telling you, God can take our little or whatever it is and bless it and multiply it, feed a multitude. Amen. Thank y'all. Are y'all okay? Everybody doing good? Real good. Get all the junk washed off of you. Amen.